السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. واعلموا أن فيكم رسول الله، لو يطيعكم في كثير من الأمر لعنتم، ولكن الله حبب إليكم الإيمان وزينه في قلوبكم وكره إليكم الكفر والفسوق والعصيان، أولئك هم الراشدون. فضلا من الله ونعمه، والله عليم حكيم. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa and those who listening over the receivers, this ayat of the Quran Sharif came to mind, which I discussed in one of the Jummah programs. But the audience on Monday night is different from the Jummah audience, and even if you have heard it, it will be beneficial to listen to it again and again. That is what the Quran Sharif is for. Nevertheless, in this verse of the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, addressing the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu majma'een, says, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. In fact, addressing all, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is saying that know well that amongst you, in your midst, is the Rasul of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Via them we are being addressed, the entire Ummat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is being addressed, everyone is being addressed. That in your midst is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لَوْ يُطْوِعُكُمْ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْرِ لَعَنِتُّمْ. I will just give you the gist, the meaning of this ayat, not going into tafsir, because there's an Islahi majlis, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that if he has to obey you, with regards to many matters of yours, if he has to obey you, then you will find yourself in difficulties. It is going to cause you hurt. It's going to cause you pain and problem. It's going to cause you difficulties. If he has to take your opinions in so many matters, so many affairs of yours, so many things that concern you, if he has to follow your opinions in everything, then it will cause you pain, it will cause you hurt, it will cause you distress. In other words, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whatever he is ordering, whatever he is instructing, whatever decision he makes, whatever opinion he gives, it is in your interest. The whole ummah is being informed that it is in our interest. Whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has decided, it is because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam received wahi. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. He doesn't speak out of his own whim and fancy. Whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, it is that wahi which comes to him. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala inspires him. So therefore, whatever decision he makes, it is in your interest. It is in our interest. Whatever is in the sharia, there's nothing there to cause us any kind of harm or any kind of pain or any kind of injury. It is in our interest. Therefore, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in Surah At-Tawbah, at the end of Surah At-Tawbah, the ayat which we all know very well, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. A Nabi of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, Rasul of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, has come to you from amongst yourselves. That means someone whose morals, whose character, whose akhlaq, whose lineage, whose family, everything you know so well. It was not that it was a child that was born somewhere, you did not know how he grew up, you did not know who his parents were, you were not aware whose grandfather was. How many children in this world, we don't know who their fathers are, leave alone grandfathers. Where do we know the whole lineage? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, we know who his mother was, who his father was, who his foster mother was, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's grandfather, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's uncles, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's wives, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's daughters, his children. Every detail we know of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they are told that Allah Ta'ala has sent a Rasul to you from amongst yourself, the one whose lineage you know very well, whose akhlaq, whose morals, whose character, whose upbringing was before you, before your very eyes. And again, he is from the human being, so that you can follow him. We could have made him out of the angels, but then you would have said, it's very difficult, how can we follow someone who was an angel? He didn't require food to eat, he didn't require drink, nothing caused him any injury and pain, he didn't marry, he didn't conduct business, he didn't do anything that human beings do, how would we have followed him? So Allah Ta'ala says, min anfusikum, azizun alayhi ma anittum. Again, it's very difficult on him, very heavy on him, very burdensome on Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. What? That which causes you difficulty, that which causes you distress, that which causes you any kind of pain, that which causes you affliction. Everything that causes us any kind of pain, any kind of hurt, any kind of injury, any kind of difficulty, it is difficult upon Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. What love he had for the ummah. What love for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had for the ummah. That means our pain, our difficulties, it is causing him distress, it is causing him pain, it is causing him hurt. Therefore Allah Ta'ala says that this is a great favor of Allah Ta'ala which he, upon the ummah, upon mankind, it is a great favor that he sent Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. See again, there Allah Ta'ala says it's a great favor. So many other favors Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala showed upon the believers, but he didn't mention it as a favor. But this Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says a great favor that Allah Ta'ala did upon the believers, that he sent a Rasul. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, this is his great favor, when he sent a messenger, his ba'atha fihim rasulam min anfusihim, from amongst them he sent a messenger. What he does, he recites the ayat, the verses, yatlu alayhim ayatihi, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's ayat, his verses he recites. Wa yuzakkihim, he purifies them. This is a tazkiyah shobah, the shobah of tazkiyah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to purify in his sohbat, in his company. His fragrance used to transfer into the hearts of the companions. In his company, that is what used to happen. The tazkiyah used to take place of the hearts. Otherwise, he could have just recited the ayat, verses of the Quran Sharif, and he could have given them the Quran Sharif and said, now go and make amal on it. But this is what was happening, that in his, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was making their tazkiyah, purification of the soul. We use this word quite often. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in the true sense of the word, he was making tazkiyah of the qulub, of the hearts of the sahaba ikram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. And then see what they turned out to be. Each and every one a guiding star. Ashabi kan nujum bi'ayyihim. Whichever one of them iqtadaytum ihtadaytum. Any one star. If you have to look at the sky and follow the stars, then people in those days, and even now too, many of them, they have got some kind of direction through the stars. That these stars, they go north, these stars, they go south, these stars, they go east, that one goes west, and this star comes out at this time and that time, and many, many things they take from the stars. It's a subject, it's a science on its own. However, you cannot say that whichever star you follow, you will reach your destination. Can anyone say that? That whichever star you follow, you will reach your destination. I want to go to China, so I look at the sky and I look at one of the stars going this way, so I will reach China. If I want to go to America, then I look at the sky and I just follow some stars and I will reach there. It will never happen like that. In fact, the person will reach Qabristan easily. Inshallah, he will be a candidate for some Qabristan. But look at the Sahaba-e-Kiram. Any one of those stars that you follow, look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, look at his balaghat, that he used the word stars. And stars, we know there's multitude in the heavens, multitude, we can't even count those stars. But he says, every one of them are like the guiding stars. Any one you follow, you will reach your destination. That means if your destination is Allah, His muhabbat, His love, and you want Jannat in the Akhirat, and you want to cross pull Sirat easily, and you want the companionship of Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannat, whatever are your good desires, then take any one of my companions and follow them, you'll reach your destination. Look at what kind of stars they are. What Allah Ta'ala made the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu. And 124,000 of them were in the plains of Arafat. Sometimes we say there were 124,000 companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it's not that. Those 124,000 were in Arafat on the last pilgrimage, plus minus they were there. But besides them, there were so many who couldn't make it to Arafat. There could have been thousands more who couldn't make it to Arafat. Many women, children, others couldn't all make it to Arafat. So each and every one, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, I'm saying they're guiding stars. So in his sohbat, this is what used to happen. In his company, the transfer of that fragrance used to take place. The fragrance of his zuhud, the fragrance of his taqwa, the fragrance of his sabr, the fragrance of his shukr, the fragrance of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's akhlaq, it was being transferred into those people who used to come close to him. They became the guiding stars. Unfortunately, in our company, when people come close to us, then they also get misled because we are also in that same direction. So many come thinking that we are pious, righteous, God-fearing, but when they come and trade with us, they deal with us, they associate with us, they become our neighbors, when they travel with us on some journey, then they realize that I have made a big mistake in my life. I'm on the wrong track. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, and of course this favor that Allah ta'ala says, I did upon the believers. It is Allah Ta'ala who is saying that it is my favor upon the believers. Because He is Allah, He has the right to say that. He is our creator. Everything that we possess, it is His bounty, His ni'mat. Allah Ta'ala has got the right to say whatever He wishes. We cannot question Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. He is the one who will give us ahkam to follow. He will tell us what to do. We cannot make decisions for Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala can say that it is my favor upon you. Look, my servants, open your eyes and open your ears. Remove the wax from your ears and listen carefully that I am your Allah and this is my great favor upon you. He can say that. But we are told that if we show any favor upon any person, then we must not cause any kind of hurt and injury to that person after doing that favor. We are told we mustn't do that. What does Allah Ta'ala say in the Quran Sharif? الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ لَا يُتْبِعُونَ مَا أَنْفَقُوا مَنًّا وَلَا أَذَىٰ لَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Those who spend their wealth in the cause of Allah Ta'ala, in good causes, in whatever good cause they spend, whether it is in jihad, madaris, masajid, whether they spend on the poor, the needy, the orphans, they give to the family members, they give to the relatives, they give to the neighbors, friends, whosoever they do any good favor to, then they do not follow it up by reminding that person of the favor that they have shown upon him. And they cause him no kind of hurt and injury. That means they do not cause any kind of pain. They do not, by means of the reminders that I did this for you and I did that for you and I did that for you and now you cannot even do this much for me. When your daughter got married, then I supplied the chicken and the mutton and I arranged for the tent and I paid for the wedding cards and now my daughter's time, you can't even do this for me. All I'm asking you is to lend me your truck to transport the degs. So the person must not remind that I did this for you, I did that for you, I did that for you, and now you can't do this much for me. That will cause the person pain. Or the person is a poor person and he was given something. Now every time he's reminding, didn't I give you this? Didn't I give you that? Imam Shawi Rahmatullah Ali, he said a beautiful thing. He says, when a person is giving to the poor, then until he does not consider himself more in need of sawab from Allah Ta'ala on that which he is giving, until he does not consider himself as more in need of the sawab of Allah, from Allah Ta'ala, then that which he is giving to this person, and this person being in need of that, that means you're giving something to someone, and now you consider that person in need of that, so you're giving it to him. But until you don't consider yourself much more in need of the sawab from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then what he is in need of from you, says you have wasted that whole gift. You have wasted it. Meaning that we should give solely for the pleasure of Allah ta'ala. Therefore in the Hadith Sharif, what does Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam say? Man ahabba lillah, wa abghada lillah, wa a'ta lillah, wa mana'a lillah, faqad istakmala al-iman. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the person who loves for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, he hates for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, he gives for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, and he holds back for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, then he has completed, perfected his iman. This is something that we have to develop. It takes a long time, but it has to be developed, otherwise the person is wasting his good time. He gives also and is getting nothing in return from Allah Ta'ala. It must be solely for Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. So much so that if a person is giving a gift, then the highest stage is this, that the person does not even say, I'm giving you this gift. Why? So that you make dua for me. That's the highest stage. That you don't even say, so that you give dua, make dua. But that too is like giving something and expecting something in return. Although it's permissible. But the best is that the person doesn't even say that, because the gift was supposed to be something that increases the muhabbat and love. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, exchange gifts for what? So that it increases love. Now the person is giving and is expecting something in return, although it is dua. But there is like an expectation of something in return. So the person must give solely for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. And especially when he is giving to his parents, he's giving to his brothers and sisters, he's giving to somebody that is learned, somebody from whom he has benefited in some way or the other. The person could be a sheikh, the person could be an alim, the person could be somebody else. If the person is giving, then they too, his niyat must be solely Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. He must not consider those people as being poor and needy, therefore I am giving to them. Because then that will become sadaqah. If he is giving to them, considering them to be needy. If they are poor and he is giving it to him, he will get sawab of sadaqah. Because he is considering them to be needy and he is giving, so that is sadaqah, he will get sawab. But if he is giving it as a gift to his parents, now they are not needy, they got sufficient. So there he must expect nothing in return. He must say, my Allah will get happy with this gift that I am giving to my parents. Allah Ta'ala will get happy. Then it is the duty of those who are given those gifts that they must say, my son has been very kind to me. See this car he bought for me, this home he bought for me. My son takes great care of me. The mother says, my son takes great care of me. My daughter is very kind and considerate. She sent this for me, or gave me this, or gave me that. Or my friend, or whoever it is. The person who receives, he must now announce and tell the people, if he wants to. But we must not go around announcing that I gave you chicken and I gave you mutton and I gave you fish and I gave you dal and beans. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not like this. Causes hurt to the person who has been given. I don't know what we were discussing. Nevertheless, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Yes, I was saying Allah Ta'ala says that this is an ihsan, it is a gift. So he can say it, but we must not say it. From that way we went on to. Because majlis is like a bowl of fruit. We don't stick to one particular topic, but Allah Ta'ala's fazal that generally it is linked. But otherwise, what is this majlis all about? It is like a bowl of fruit. In that bowl of fruit, you will get apples, peaches, popos, mangoes, you get different kinds of fruits. And one is you go to just one tree of, which has got mangoes only. So there you will get only mangoes. So different kinds of majalis have different kinds of effects. So wa'alamu anna feekum Rasulallah. Know well that amongst you, in your midst, is the Rasul of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. لَوْ يُطْوِيُكُمْ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْرِ لَعَنِتُّمْ. If he has to obey you, if he has to follow you, if he has to listen to you, if he has to take your opinions in most of the matters with regards to yourselves, then you will find yourself in difficulties. It is going to cause you hurt. It is going to cause you pain. So look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's love for the ummah, that whatever he is telling us is haram, it is forbidden, it is disliked, then there's goodness for us in it. If only we can understand this philosophy, then it will be sufficient for us to enjoy and appreciate the teachings of Islam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, whatever he decides is for our good. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made iman beloved to you. Iman he made beloved to you. وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. And he beautified it in your hearts. Iman became so beloved to them that they got the sweetness of iman. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, the person who gets the sweetness of iman, then he dislikes going back to kufr, just like he doesn't want to be thrown into fire. He doesn't want to be cast into fire. How a person dislikes that? Nobody would like to be thrown into fire. So the person who gets now the sweetness of iman, he dislikes going, is giving up that iman, just like how he dislikes going into fire. He will never give up that iman at any cost, come what may. But he holds on firmly to that iman. And that was the distinguishing feature, conspicuous sign in the life of all the companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that they would never let go their iman, come what may, all kinds of difficulties, hardships, problems they faced. But they believed in Allah, and they obeyed Allah Ta'ala in the most difficult of circumstances. And Allah Ta'ala beautified it in your hearts. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, when they get sweetness of iman, then first thing that they don't like to go back to kufr, just like they wouldn't like to go into the fire. And they love any other person solely for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. That's another sign. They love the person solely for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. And the third thing is that this person, so they don't like to go in, they love solely for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And the third one slips my mind at present. If it comes back, I will tell you inshallah. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that this is what happens when the sweetness of iman comes into the heart. Then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْإِسْيَانِ. And they detest, Allah Ta'ala has made abhorrent to them what? Kufr, rejection of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Rejection of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, kufr is abhorrent to them. They detest it, they dislike it. كَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ. The karahat of kufr, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala put it into their hearts. وَالْفُسُوقُ وَالْإِسْيَانِ. Sins and disobedience, they abhor that. They detest that. They dislike that. They don't want to go anywhere near kufr, near shirk. They don't want to go anywhere near sins, masiyat, any kind of sins, anything. They don't want to go near it. It is abhorrent to them. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made it like that. وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْإِسْيَانِ. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ. These are the rightly guided ones. And فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَنِعْمًا وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. It is due to that grace of Allah Ta'ala, the bounty of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It's no kamal of the person. The person must not think that it is due to my greatness, that I had some kind of greatness in me. That's why I got blessed with all this. The fazl of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Walau la fadlullahi alaykum wa rahmatuhu ma zaka minkum min ahadin abada. Walakinna Allah yuzakki man yasha. So it is the fazl of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the bounty of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is all knowing, most wise. So this is the sifat that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that this is the sifat of the mu'min, that he hates sins, he dislikes it, doesn't want to go towards sins. Therefore that hadith sharif of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, reported by Hazrat Abu Umama radiyallahu ta'ala, in which Hazrat Abu Umama radiyallahu ta'ala says, Anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sa'alahu rajulun. A person came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and he questioned Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, mal iman, what is iman? Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam could have given a very lengthy speech with regards to iman, but Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he put the ocean in a teacup. And look at the beautiful words in reply of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Say, إِذَا سَرَّتْكَ حَسَنَتُكَ وَسَاءَتْكَ سَيِّئَتُكَ فَأَنْتَ مُؤْمِنٌ. Finish. When your good deeds give you happiness, satisfaction, joy, any good deed you do, that gives you happiness. It gives you pleasure. You thank Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, you are so loving, so kind, so merciful. So much of your bounties upon me. You saved me from sin and you made me do this good deed. You gave me the tawfiq of making salat, of giving zakat, of making hajj, of making zikr and tilawat, of giving charities, of doing this and doing that. Any kind of good deed the person does, then he gets kind of happiness, gets satisfaction. And when he does any kind of evil, any kind of haram he engages in, any kind of sin that the person indulges in, then it causes him great sadness, sorrow, hurt, injury, pain, any word you can give. But it makes him restless. It creates a restlessness in the person's heart. He's not happy, gives him no contentment, gives him no satisfaction. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that when you reach that stage, then you must know that is iman now. Now you are a mu'min. And I mentioned this in some other majlis too, that just this small hadith sharif is like an x-ray. It goes right through into our hearts. It x-rays our hearts. We have got many, many x-raying machines. And they do x-rays of everything nowadays. Even our bags are x-rayed at the airports. And our purses and our wallets and our shoes also they x-ray now in Israel. So they have x-ray machines for everything. Here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, this hadith sharif, we should put our heart in front of this hadith sharif and x-ray our hearts. Do good deeds give us happiness and satisfaction and joy and pleasure? Or is it that when we are watching those porn sites on the internet, that's giving us happiness? When we are watching the filthy films on the television screen, it's giving us happiness. When the person is committing fraud, and when he took a person for a big ride, then it gives him extra happiness because he took him for a big ride. Or if the person is indulging in adultery and fornication, and if that woman also happens to be a pretty woman, then he gets extra satisfaction and happiness that I am so fortunate that I was able to have an illicit relationship with some film star, film actress. Na'udhu billahi min zalik. That is what people are bragging about these days. That look at Mr. So-and-so. And he's a Muslim, but he's proud about the fact that he's being photographed next to a film actress. They brag about it in the parties, in the walimas, in the functions. Said, what you enjoy life. See what an honor I had. Miss World, I had the opportunity of being photographed with her, or in this club or that club. Ah, inna lillah. What is giving us satisfaction today? We must x-ray. Our amal, which are salihat, giving us satisfaction, or sayyad, giving us satisfaction. And if it is sayyad that are giving us satisfaction, then we must think that our iman is at the lowest ebb. We don't know when it can be snatched away. Because if that person was committing a sin and considering that sin as a sin, then there is hope that the person will make tawbah. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala can make him a waliullah. But when the person is committing a sin and is considering the sin as a virtue, then how can he be making tawbah from such a sin? If the person is bragging, he's happy, expressing satisfaction that I own so much casinos and I operate so much of escort agencies and is a Muslim, or I've indulged in so much of haram and I'm enjoying life. So if he's bragging about it, then it shows that the person is enjoying sins. How is he going to make tawbah from that? So this is a hadith sharif of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam which we must look into and then x-ray our hearts. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that Nabi of Allah, if he has to listen to you and obey you and follow you in all your matters and affairs, or many, many matters and affairs of yours, many matters concerning you, then you will be in difficulty. We will be in difficulty, not Nabi of Allah ta'ala. How much he went through just for our sake. Otherwise, what was lacking in him? What deficiency was there in him? What weakness was there in him? Was there any doubt about the fact that no ummati can enter Jannat until Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has not made shafaat? And he will not enter until he sees all his ummatis enter. But Jannat, the doors will first be opened for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So what doubt was there in that? Yet look at the trouble that he underwent for the sake of the ummah. So this is the cry and the pain of the heart, that how long are we going to just give lip service praises to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam? May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of amal. Wallah, if we only, Allah ta'ala has to open up that love that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had for his ummah. And how much more can Allah ta'ala open that love of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's heart? But that the intizam and the arrangement that Allah ta'ala made for the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to be recorded. Otherwise, how do we know all these things? We know it through the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. 1400 years ago, what happened for such kind of recording that I can take you right up to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? When it comes to the hadith of Bukhari Sharif, I can tell you that I heard it from my Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Fakhruddin Rahmatullah Ali. He heard it from his Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah Ali, or Hazrat Shaykh ul Hind Rahmatullah Ali. And it can go on like that until you come to Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Ali, and carry on from there until you come to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, and then you will say that hadith on innamal a'malu bin niyat was reported by Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, and he heard it from Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now in which other thing you can take a sanad right through? So look at the arrangement that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala made, and in those, amongst those ahadith, that whole bowl of ahadith, that garden of ahadith, that orchards of ahadith, in these all those hadiths in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's love for his ummah has been recorded. So where else, or what else are we waiting for if you want to really know what love he had for us? So is it not right that we should have that kind of love for him? That at least we are obedient, we give up those things which he hated, which he disliked, which he abhorred. Take that little pain on our hearts. Detest those things. Get rid of them from the homes. This morning also one mother says that there's so much of problem in the home, the children are going through this and that. But with regards to the TVs, so the children, of course, what else are they going to do? They all need it. So I say, if the children are going to say that they want poison, will you give it to them? If the children say, we dearly love poison, will you give it to them? So for the physical bodies, which at the end of the day will perish, they will die, they will go to the Qabristan, we are prepared to give them every kind of enjoyment, and we'll keep them away from anything that causes them harm. So why not when it comes to the spiritual side? Should we not keep things away from them which will cause them harm? What kind of love is that, that we are quite happy to see them being harmed by those very things which we are providing for them? We're spending money on them. Again, that whole issue and that big debate about TV, jaiz, najaiz, halal, haram, I'm not talking about that. But which person in his true senses does not know of the harm of that box, the filth that is coming on? All this issue about parental control, which father, grandfather has got the time to sit there and control what his children are watching? Because they've given each one in their rooms. Now the mother, father are going to sit there and say, now control this, control that, don't see this, don't see that. And those very scientists are now saying how much of, look at that recent article about the epileptic fits. How many children, they say, have been affected by epileptic fits. Why? Because of the changing colors on the screen and the effect of the radiation. And they say the brains and the veins and the nerves and everything are very, very sensitive. So many, many children are getting epileptic fits. Now knowing all that, still we say, no, nothing wrong with it. So let us see in the light of this Hadith Sharif and in the light of this Ayat of the Quran Sharif. If Iman is beloved to us, if Iman is beloved to us, dear to us, it is like the decoration of our hearts. It is endeared to us. Something that we really love and we really like, and it has beautified our hearts. Or is it that Iman is just on our tongues and we like all those things which Allah Ta'ala says that the believers hate? Sin, disobedience, kufr, shirk, bid'at, all kinds of haram, obscenity, shamelessness, nudity, everything what the believers should be hating. Do we like that or do we hate that? If we hate that and we love all things of Iman, then make shukr. The more shukr we make, the more Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will increase our Iman, the quality of our Iman. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give me, give you and the entire Ummah the tawfiq of Amal. Once again, Amal se banti hai zindagi, jannat bhi, jahannam bhi, ye khaki apni fitrat mein na noori hai na nari hai. Amal. Until we don't get on Amal, then we will be getting some sawab, listening to talks of deen. You get some sawab. But it will not come inside the heart. It will not become a means of giving us all those benefits which are in the practicing upon it. Extremely cold weather, if somebody listens to the virtues of a heater. Extremely cold weather, so he heard about the virtues of a heater. All the different kinds of heaters also, which they have nowadays. So somebody gave a bayan on that. This heater, that heater, that heater, different virtues. Now he heard it. Now will that protect him from the cold weather? Listening to that. Now he goes home and it's freezing cold. So the person says, no, I heard about the virtues of a heater. So my body should get warm because I heard about it. Have you heard anybody say that? That the body should get warm because I heard about it. He will have to get one heater and put it on, switch it on. Then he will get the heat. And then he will say that person was right, what he said. If I was still feeling cold, it's because I didn't put on a heater. So let us switch on that heater because it's winter. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم يا أرحم الراحمين يا أكرم الأكرمين يا غياث المستغيثين يا راحم المساكين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اے اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما. او مائی رحیم اللہ, کریم اللہ, موسٹ فورگیونگ اللہ, موسٹ کائنڈ, کمپیشنیٹ, ٹالرنٹ, لونگ, کیئرنگ, بیوٹیفل اللہ, فورگیو ایچ اینڈ ایوری ون آف اس. فورگیو اور میجر سنز, مائنر سنز, سنز دیٹ وی کمیٹڈ نوئنگلی اور ان نوئنگلی, سنز دیٹ وی کمیٹڈ ان دا لائٹ آف ڈے اور ڈارکنس آف نائٹس. Oh my beloved Allah, forgive the sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, of our hands and feet, of our heart and mind. Forgive us, our parents, wives and children, brothers and sisters, family members and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, change the condition of our hearts. Oh my beloved Allah, sins have become pleasant to us. Sins have become enjoyable. My beloved Allah, we seem to brag about our sins. We enjoy our sins. We enjoy indulgence in all kinds of haram actions and deeds. My beloved Allah, change this condition of ours. Put the love of good deeds into our hearts. Put the love of ibadat, zikr, tilawat, charities. Put the love of all good deeds into our hearts. And put the hatred of sins into our hearts. My beloved Allah, we are confessing before you that indeed we are the most sinful servants on the surface of this earth. But my Allah, do not seize us because of our sins. Bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Ya Allah, those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa. Bless them with complete shifa from all ailments, sicknesses and diseases, spiritual and physical. Those who are in financial difficulties, remove their difficulties with plentiful of halal risk. Those who have no children, bless them with pious children. Ya Allah, bless us with your qurb, your marifat, yaqeen, your muhabbat. Fill our hearts with the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remove the difficulties, the hardships, the problems of the entire ummah of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wherever they may be, which part of the world they may be. Palestine, Chechnya, Bosnia, Kashmir, Africa, Iraq, Iran, wherever the Muslim Ummah is suffering, Ya Allah, remove their suffering and difficulties. Remove the difficulties of the entire mankind. Ya Allah, assist and help the Mujahideen of Islam. Jab humara marne ka waqt aaye, to Madina Tayyiba ke andar hame shahadat ki maut naseeb farma. Ya Allah, time of our death, take us to Madina Tayyiba. At the Rosa Mubarak of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, who sacrificed so much for us, so much for us. Such love he had for us. He is Ra'ufur Rahim. He is Rahmatul Lil Alameen. Ya Allah, take us there. At his Rosa Mubarak with the salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulallah on our lips. Let our souls depart. Bless us with burial in Jannatul Baqi. Ya Allah, all the du'as that he made in his entire life for us, bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Our parents, wives and children and the entire ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas, and especially the fitnas of the Dajjal that he asked for protection. Ya Allah, protect us and the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.